Grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Would you bow your heads for a moment to pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit and we shall be created and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit instructs the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolations through Christ our Lord. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, I would share with you one more time shortly the short gospel lesson for today in that wonderful event, Mary and Martha, which has given its name, that title, to many an altar guild, many a ladies' aid society, maybe sometimes even two, a Mary Society and a Martha Society, or a subsection thereof. And then in the 40s, when it became quite confident that we were going to have a Lutheran Women's Missionary League, they wanted to do outreach, the ladies' aid groups, most of them, segued into that organization. Some still stayed behind as a Mary group, a Martha group, or in some cases, a different name. And here is the gospel again. Now, as Jesus and his disciples went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman was named Martha, and she welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who was sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister's left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is a need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." I want you to imagine that scene. In that small village, a certain village, says the gospel writer. Why do you think he didn't say a village, instead of a certain village? Because this certain village played a part in more than one event that the gospel writers were moved by the Holy Spirit to record about the life and the work of Jesus that he did during those few short years that he was with his disciples on earth. Bethany is not named per se in our text, but it probably was Bethany. And in the birth order of the family, we only know about three kids. We know about Lazarus. I'm just guessing he was firstborn. Why? I don't know. And Martha, I'm just guessing that she was the middle kid, you know, the one that always takes care of everything. And I'm just guessing that Mary was the youngest one who was playing, "I want to listen to Jesus," and who got taken care of by everybody else, and who had to be taken care of by both Mary and Jesus, and Martha and Jesus. And Martha wanted to enlist Jesus in helping her take care of my little sister who isn't maybe helping like she could. I remember thinking at one point, how come Martha wasn't ready for this event? And then I got to thinking, well, there's that Old Testament lesson for today. And you aren't really sure when the Lord's going to show up to you. Beautiful section in that Old Testament event. The Lord, it says, said to Abram, "I'll come back next year and your wife Sarah will have a child." They were old. I mean, like octogenarians, nonagenarians. And I, for one, at this point in life, at 75, do not want to be the parent of a toddler again. I couldn't catch him. It would be like having a little maelstrom storm around. And so it would be. I love them. Right here, I love all those kids. They're wonderful kids. And I love hearing about people having kids. It's a tremendous, precious thing. I sometimes get worried in our society that people have conflict in their priorities about kids. And when they grow up, they have conflicts and priorities just like Mary and Martha. Oh, what should I do? Do you think that Mary didn't even think about helping Martha? I think she made her decision. Why do I say that? Because Jesus said, Mary has chosen the better part of the words of Jesus, and it shall not be taken away from her. Oh, did Jesus mean that from here on out, Martha, you the kitchen gal, and she is the student. She studies and she's up in the clouds. She's going to be so heavenly minded, she won't be of any more earthly good. That's not what Jesus was saying. He was saying something for Martha to hear, his disciples to hear, for you to hear, and for me to hear. That there is something more important, and it ought to be first priority for everyone all the time, everywhere. And that is to hearken unto the Lord. I like that old term. Kind of reminds me that you should listen with your heart. Hearken. And know with your heart, can hearken. It's important for us to recognize that Jesus was not scolding Martha or giving Mary carte blanche to not help again. In human prioritizing of things, we might easily assume that. In fact, we might even do stuff like that without having any kind of marching orders from Jesus or anybody else to fall back on. We just want to do our own thing. We live in an age when if there's a conflict to what you want, do your own thing. Don't think about somebody else. It's not a new thing. You heard about it in the gospel last week or the week before. Who is my neighbor? That's the question. The one who you notice who has a need that Mary understood. The need is to hear Christ, hear Jesus, to follow him, and to be close. Do you think that Mary dropped everything and wandered around after Jesus from there on? I don't think so. I think she was there yet, because when Lazarus died, remember how that went? Somebody rushed out to meet Jesus. If you had been here, Jesus, who was that? I'll give you one guess. It's Martha. But Martha also is the one who made that wonderful confession of who Jesus is. She had her priorities pretty well in place, but she also was one of those that took care of things all around, wanted to make things work well. Middle kids are often like that. Us older ones, not one of those. We want to tell people what to do. Abraham, what'd he do? Go do this, go do that. They make good bosses. Go do this, go do that. And sometimes they have a rough time learning how to play. And sometimes they have a great deal of difficulty learning about being taken care of and that things will work out. Priorities are a problem. They're a problem in our entire culture and our society, and no, it's more than that. It's not blame the U.S. It's not blame America. It's not blame the Western world. It's that way in all humankind everywhere in the world. It's the old me first thing. We say me, myself, and I. Well, you have to have a good self-construct. Yes, but you don't have to worship it, and that is the huge problem. If you have the skewed priorities, you will find quite soon that others will respect you. They'll distance themselves from you. There's old John. He's just busy doing his thing. We really can't get next to him because he is busy. You know how it goes. You know people like that. Maybe you've been that person once in a while. When we make our circles smaller and smaller, finally they get where Jesus' disciple Martin Luther said, the human being is cor vadis in se, curved in on itself. And that can happen more easily than we think. And sometimes we look for people that are just like us. Why? So that we can validate our being curved in on ourselves. They're curved in on themselves too. We got a common goal. Yeah, but you do yours, I'll do mine. Oh, let's do it together. Okay, we'll do it together, but you do yours, I'll do mine. You know how it goes. What's the consequences of that? What was Jesus trying to tell Martha? Martha, there is something deeper and more important than all of the details of day-to-day living. There's something deeper and more important. It's got something to do with the one who makes and keeps promises. And that is the Lord. Now, you and I make promises. So those of you that are married, you made a promise too, didn't you? Was it really just so simple? No. It was a matter of prioritizing. And can you say you've always kept that promise? You cannot. Because husbands and wives are the place where forgiveness needs to happen so they can teach it to their children, where love needs to happen, where loyalty is more than me see, me want, me get. That is the way I was, the way all you are, and our kids, before they were old enough to come up and hear about Jesus and learn about Jesus. An ancient pastor who's been gone a long time was very influential for me when I was a kid, those kids' age. I'd sit in the pew, and like the old lady in the church said, I don't always understand what he says, but I sure do like him. He used King James English and big words and right on through. But somehow you knew that this Dr. Irwin Kurth, who wrote something called Catechetical Helps, to help people understand with pictures and allusions and all sorts of things, that the problem is us as human beings, that we really are everyone after our own self. He put it this way. He says, we've all got that problem we had when we were 1 year old, and it's this. Me see, me want, me get. A pretty good description of the way original sin acts out in every single one. Sure, I know about the sociologists and all the humanist sciences that tell you we're just surviving and people have a right to do this, that, and the other. Okay. But when it is so wrapped up inside oneself that you don't really think about or care about the others, that's the breakthrough that Jesus came to live for his disciples, the fulfillment of the promise that was made to Abraham way back when. There will come one from God. That will be the Savior. It's outside ourselves, getting outside ourselves. And I don't know a better way to do that than to put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. You think that Mary was perfect? We already know that from Martha's remarks. She tended to skate on duties a little bit here and there. And I don't believe that this was the first time, because you know how it works in families? Married couples, you can understand this. Things come to the forefront. They've been there, but all of a sudden now they're in the forefront. There she is. Jesus, don't you care that my sister is leaving me to the one? Oh, yeah, we put our priorities, but if you boil it down, it all boils down to me see, me want, and me get. What's the problem with that? Can't we just all get along? Problem is, no, we can't. Even if we could figure out a social contract that would mean that we would get along with everybody, how would it be with God? We would become God unto ourselves. I don't know a better description of where the current society is. You all have friends that proclaim that they're atheists. You have friends, some of them, that wonder if there is God. Is there any truth to all this? Maybe sometimes that's been you. And if that's the case, you can raise your hand. I'm the only one. Okay, sorry about that. Here is the answer to all those things when we do that. The answer is the soul that sinneth it shall die. Now, I like that term, sineth, old King James term. What does it mean? More than just sins, does stuff, it's bigger than that. It's deeper than that. It's way deep. You and I die because we're sinful. That is not unwritten. And there is no hope for us if we just continue to diagnose ourselves and say, well, and finally you come to this perspective that one of my friends who's an avowed atheist said, well, you know, we're here for no apparent reason, and we're obliterated with no apparent regret. It was a very pregnant period of silence, and I didn't want to respond to that. I was in the process of preparing a funeral for his son. And a year later, God does stuff. His granddaughter was killed in an accident, 8 years old. And he called me up. John, I need your help. What's up, Dave? Tawny, it's killed. I said, what? Heard all the stories. Will you help me? Well, I said, of course. And I said, I did before. And you know me. Now, he was concerned the first time that I was the kind of preacher that would ask people to come up at a funeral and accept Jesus right then and there. I said, no, I don't do that. I said, besides that, in my background in the Lutheran Church, I think it's backwards. It's Jesus accepts us. And the thing is, we get to tell the news that he accepts everybody just the way they are. The way I accepted him, as a friend and acquaintance. I didn't ask to be put in his life. Somebody else did this to us, and there we were. As I look back on that, and I keep thinking, I have no idea, and I can't make judgments. I can only be, like you, a steward of the mysteries of God. The forgiveness of your sins. Your holy baptism, what's that for? It's for your job to go and teach all nations. Well, I'm not going to go to St. Louis and get, you know, organized, and I won't be presented to the Synod Convention, which is going on in Florida right now. What you are called to do is to be God's baptized child right where you are. And his grace is completely sufficient for you. Jesus Christ was crucified, died, buried, and raised again for our justification. And with that, he has empowered you, me, every one of the ones who call him Lord, to be his witnesses. Where? Judea, Samaria, to the utter ends of the earth. To Knoxville. That's not the end of the earth. It's not. Rogersville's the end of the earth. No, that's where I'm from. Truth of the matter is, when that changes in you, and you understand that that's your job, because the prognosis for us is really, really good with Jesus as our champion, our Lord, our Savior, now then extends into our living unit, our friend, our family, stuff that we have to do. And we can make adjustments and make changes because we know that we're not alone. We know that Jesus is with us, as he has promised. Lo, I am with you to the very end of the age. So if you're worried about elections, if you're worried about this and that, don't worry about it. Just be who God has made you to be wherever he sends you. Yeah, we live in a time when going to church is not the highest priority. I was early today, very uncharacteristic for me. So I drove around downtown Knoxville, which, you know, was kind of old home for me. I've helped with the marathons and stuff like that and the radio club, and I've, you know, lived in Knoxville a couple years. And so you see everybody was having a good time last night and partying, and it's super quiet this morning. They're all home resting. Go to church, most of them, they have diagnosed themselves as beyond that. The diagnosis is incorrect. And it's kind of like if you are in medicine and you treat yourself. I worked in a hospital when I was at the SEM. A couple of times we had doctors as patients who had been treating themselves. It was a mental hospital. If you're an attorney and you go pro se and defend yourself in court, you know what the other attorneys will say? Huh, there he goes. He's got a fool for a client. When you and I try to do it on our own religiously, that's where we are. And so many of our friends, acquaintances, neighbors, and others are like that. How are we going to help them shape the question, the answer for which is one only Jesus, always only Jesus, the crucified, dead, resurrected, and ascended Lord, he who was the answer to all childlessness, became the infant of Bethlehem for you, for me, for the entire world. I can see why a lot of other religions in the world really don't get Christianity. We have this huge circle. For whom did Jesus Christ die? Just the good people? The sinners. Who are they? Everyone. Oh, that means that when you go speak to somebody, you're talking to somebody just like you, who's a redeemed sinner, no matter what level of pride, experience, wealth, or anything, beauty, whatever they've got, or crippled, or hurt, or whatever, no matter what. As you leave from this house of worship today, enriched and nourished, we hope, by the scriptures, never worry about the sermon. The solid stuff's in the Bible, and the solid stuff is here on the altar, and that is the gospel in the solid. Jesus Christ's body and blood given and shed for you, for me, for the forgiveness of sins. That enables us to walk in faith and life through all our days until the end of our days. So, at the end of this sermon, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus.